So today I'm going to talk on a topic that I believe is the absolute center of our beliefs, and that is faith. Okay, you can't really be a Christian without it. You know, it's essential. It's the absolute core of who we are as Christians is our faith. Okay, so the first thing I want to do is talk about what faith is. It's pretty interesting. As I was studying faith, one of the things I did is went online and read what others had to say about faith. And it's amazing how much confusion there seems to be on what faith is. One of the things I did is I looked up the definition of faith. Faith, when it's found in the New Testament, is a noun, and it comes from the Greek word pistis, okay? And it's a conviction of the truth of anything, belief. In the New Testament, of a conviction of belief representing man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith and joined with it, relating to God, the conviction that God exists and is a creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. Relating to Christ, a strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah, through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. Faith is a religious belief of Christians. Faith is the belief with the predominant idea of trust or confidence, whether in God or in Christ, springing from faith in the same. Okay? Faith is also, and I think this is where a lot of the confusion comes from, but we also see a verb usage of the word faith. So instead of pistis, it's pistios, okay? And that's the verb usage, and usually we see that in the word believed. So when you see in the New Testament the word believed or belief, it's usually that word pistio, which is a verb usage of the word pistis, which is faith, okay? So before we go on, though, I do want to take some time and just pray, and I just ask God to lead this sermon, okay? Father God, I just come before you, and I thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word. And Lord, I just I ask that you would just guide my heart, guide my tongue. Lord, that nothing would be spoken that is not of your word or by you, Father. And I just ask for your spirit to guide me and direct me, and for the hearts to be open to hear all that you would have to say. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so if you guys could, just go ahead and turn to Hebrews 11. And we're going to start with verse 1. Oops. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So here we have in Hebrews just a nice summary of what faith is. One thing I want to point out in the definition that I read earlier, and I think this is a very key element that most people tend to miss, okay? And that is that faith is a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Far too often we relate faith to just a belief in God or in divine things. forgetting that faith actually derives from when we understand our relationship as men, those that were created, to the Creator, to God. When we understand what our relationship is to Him, then faith takes place. I know this to be true in my own life. I'm a second-generation Christian. My parents were Christians when I was born. I was born on Saturday and church on Sunday, and have been in church pretty much every day of my life that I can remember. But when I turned 18 and I went to the military, out of rebellion, I went as far away from God as I could. And I sought out anything I could to separate myself from God, because I'd seen enough religion. I knew who God was. I knew that He was a creator. I knew I was a sinner. But that was all I knew. And then about 3 years of me being in the military, I was going to church, because even though I had everything I wanted, okay, I had popularity, I had money, I had a good job, I had everything that worldly I could have desired, but I was rather miserable. And so I started going to church because I thought, I'm just going to appease God. And so I went to church, and one Sunday, I'm sitting there, I'm by myself, and God revealed to me who I was, who He was, and the love He had for me despite that. And God got a hold of my life, and He began to move and change in my life. And I began to give my life to Him through that. Okay? So I can tell you that faith works. That faith produces something, a change in you, that is not just a belief, but it is a belief that creates an action. Okay? Go with me, if you could, to Matthew 8:5-13. This is another great example of faith that we see in the Bible. Now, Jesus was walking along, and a Roman centurion came up to Him, and this is where we pick up in the story. Now, Jesus had entered Capernaum. A centurion came to Him, pleading with Him, saying, "Lord, my servant is laying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." Okay? Now, that's a totally appropriate response. Jesus said, "Hey, okay, no problem. I'm going to come and heal him. You sought me out. Your faith has brought you to come and seek me out. So I will come and I will heal him." But here's where things get interesting. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof." The centurion's immediate response with humility. Here he is, a Roman centurion, one of authority, as we're about to find out, okay? And his immediate response is, "No, I'm not worthy." Now, I don't know if the Roman centurion understood that Jesus was God, the Messiah, okay? But he did understand that He was a man of authority, okay? And he says, "But only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man of authority." See, he's recognizing Jesus' authority and who He is. "Having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." Okay, so he recognized authority. He recognized that Jesus had authority. And so in his faith, he said, "Just say the word. Just say the word. Your authority is enough to just say the word, and I know he's going to be healed." And Jesus was marveled at this. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, "As surely as I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come and eat from east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into utter darkness, there into weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you. Okay? So Jesus immediately recognized the faith that the centurion had, this Roman centurion, who wasn't raised under Jewish tradition or a Jewish understanding, who just noticed a man who had great authority and recognized that he had the authority to heal his servant and produce such great faith. So the question is, why is faith so important to us? Well, besides the fact that it's a understanding of who we are and relationship to who God is and who Christ is, faith is how we are saved. Okay? Faith brings salvation. If you turn to Ephesians 2:4, I'm sorry, that is not the verse I wanted. Might be. Yes, thank you. All right. For by grace you have been saved through faith. All right. Grace is what allowed God to send his son on earth to die for us. Okay. But it is our faith, our understanding of who we are, okay, that brings salvation, all right? It is an eternal understanding, and it's not just a head knowledge, but it is a understanding that reaches all the way through our mental to the very core and foundation of our spirit and our soul that we recognize this thing. See, before I had the head knowledge, I knew who God was. I knew who I was. It didn't matter. It wasn't until God's Spirit poured into me who he was and broke me down, literally broke me down in tears, crying, because I recognized exactly who I was in relationship to him, that I became saved. Okay? That faith brought that forth. It wasn't my faith. It was the faith that God instilled in me. It was nothing that I did, but Jesus and his Holy Spirit poured out that faith on me, and I was able to then see who I was in relationship. The other one is, of course, we all know this one, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That word believeth is the verb tense, pistios, that we talked about earlier. So again, it is a faith, okay? Those that had faith, they believed in him, and they were saved, okay? Faith also brings forth the Holy Spirit, okay? We see in Acts 1:4. So if you could turn there, please. Okay, so the disciples are gathered with Jesus. He's getting ready to ascend. And being assembled together with Jesus, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Okay? Now, as the story goes on, he ascends into heaven. The Jews, or the disciples, they don't leave. Instead, they go into an upper room and they begin to pray. Okay, they anoint a new 12th disciple. And then on the day of Pentecost, we see in Acts 2:1-4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Okay? As they were in there and they were praying, they were acting in the faith that God had told them, or Christ had told them to stay, to wait in Jerusalem, because he was going to be sending the Spirit. Okay, he was going to send someone to guide them, a counselor, and we see the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost as they are all praying in one accord. All right. We also see that faith produces patience. In James 1, 2 and 4, or 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. All right? But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. All right? So when we go through trials, if we have faith, that faith can produce patience within us if we just allow God to move and act and do what God is going to do. I know this to be true in our recent months. Many of you know that we have taken on two new members of our family, and we stepped out in faith on that. We didn't know what to do, and I expected God, open the door if you're going to open it, or close it if you want to close it, but this is what we're going to do. And God opened the door. He opened it in a mighty way, and I saw the body of Christ coming together, and we've had many trials since then, and God has increased our patience and increased our faith as well. So it's been an interesting time, to say the least. and then we also see that faith produces wisdom. And that's just a little further down. In fact, it's the next verse here. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. All right? So we need to be asking in faith that God would give us wisdom. All right? Wisdom is very important. All right? The reason why wisdom is so important is because without wisdom, if we rely solely on knowledge, without wisdom, we can be led astray. But when we have wisdom, that is God's directing. God's giving us that wisdom so that we can now use the knowledge that we have to act in faith and act accordingly, okay? So we see why faith is important. What happens, though, when our faith falters, okay? What happens when we find ourselves seeming to lack faith, all right? If you go to Mark 9, 17, 24, all right, and we're going to see a little bit of a story here. Jesus sees a crowd of people, and one of the people in the crowd comes to him and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at the teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him, both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Okay, here's this man, he's doubting. He's just gone to Jesus' disciples and they weren't able to help. So now in a desperate attempt, he's going to Jesus saying, Jesus, is there anything you can do? And Jesus said, believe. If you believe, anything's possible, right? I mean, how many times does that happen to us? That we seek out other things. We seek out, you know, maybe we've lost our job and we do everything we can to find another job. Or maybe there's some trial going on with strife with a coworker or trouble in the home. And we seek all these different things, but we don't go to Jesus first. We don't seek Jesus first. And then when we do, God's just like, okay, where's your belief? It's a man's response, though. He says, immediately the father of the child cried and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. He recognized that he was lacking in faith. He recognized that he didn't have the faith that he needed at that moment. And so we ask God, help my unbelief. God, give me more faith. Increase my faith. I need this because I want my child to be saved. And you're the only one who can. You know, so he's crying out to Christ. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit came out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one who's dead. And many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Now this story is also told in Matthew 17:20. And I actually want to go to that. And so after Jesus is cast out, the demon, the disciples come to Jesus privately and they say, why could we not cast it out? They want to know. We've done this before. Why couldn't we cast this out? And Jesus said to him, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move there, move here or to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Okay? So Jesus is telling them, it's not the amount of faith. It's not that you didn't have enough faith. You doubted yourself. You doubted what? You doubted me. You doubted the power that is here with you. If you just had a small amount of faith, you could have done it. He does go on to say, however, that this spirit does not go out except through prayer and fasting. So, you know, it required a little bit more. Jesus, obviously being the Son of God, didn't need to do that because he's always in continual prayer. And what are some other things that cause our faith to falter? Okay, if we can have moments of unbelief, what are those things that can cause our faith to falter? One of them is fear. We see in Mark 4. Mark 4:35-40. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And Thank you, Alan, for sharing this verse earlier. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in a boat, and as he was and the other little boats were also with him, and a great wind storm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" So immediately, worst case scenario comes to mind. They're going to die out in the middle of this water. And here's Jesus, the only one that can do anything about it, is sleeping. You know, they're panicked. They're afraid. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" Again, their fear overcame them, and they forgot to believe and have faith. Okay? Doubt is another thing that causes a lack of faith. We see that in Matthew 14. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you," and let me back up. Disciples are out in the water. Jesus stayed behind. He's now walking on the water, coming to the disciples. There's a bit of a storm again out in the middle of the water there. The disciples see him, and they get nervous, thinking that there's a ghost. And Jesus calls out and says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Now I pick up 28. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, I want to pause right there, because I think so many times when we hear this story, we focus too much on Peter's lack of faith and fail to recognize the fact that Peter actually walked on the water. He had the faith to get out of the boat and walk on the water towards Christ. Okay? So he did. He stepped in faith. But then something happened as he was out in the middle of that water. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. And he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" Peter got glimpses of the waves crashing down all around him, felt the wind, and he began to doubt. And then he began to sink. Doubt can cause a lack of faith in our lives. Okay? Another thing that can cause a lack of faith is worry. In this day and age, there's so many of us that worry and have anxiety, but this is something that causes a huge amount of doubt or a lack of faith in our lives. And we see this in Luke 12. In Luke 12, verses 22 to 28. Then he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on." Okay? So he said, starting out immediately, don't worry. Don't worry about the basics of life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least Why are you anxious for the rest? Okay? Consider the lilies. He goes on to the lilies now. How they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Okay, Solomon, one of the wealthiest, most lavish of all the kings of Israel. God says, not even he was as clothed as beautifully as the lilies of the field. Okay? If then God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Okay? We see that worry, stress, worrying about and being anxious about what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear or the things of life, these daily things that continue to happen, can cause us to begin to lack faith. Okay? If we just trust in God and trust that He is going to provide for us, then we will see God move and we'll see God provide our food and our clothing. Another one is self-reasoning. And I think this tends to stem from worry. When we have worry, we begin to reason within ourselves, right? You'll look at Matthew 16. Verses 5 through 10. Now, Jesus and the disciples had come to the other side, I'm assuming, of a lake. It says, now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So, kind of like this story, because here's the disciples. They're kind of getting used to the fact that every time Jesus goes somewhere, there's a great multitude of people that are going to just kind of follow him. And so they got to this location, and they're starting to worry that we forgot bread. We've twice now forgotten bread, and here's the third time, and we have again forgotten bread. All right, and Jesus, I think, is very aware of their thoughts and their worries right now. And he says to them to take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And I think it's interesting that he uses that word leaven because it is a bread term. And the disciples didn't hear anything other than leaven. I think they were so in tune on what they were worried about and what their thoughts were right at that moment that all they heard was leaven. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. This is why he's saying this, because we haven't taken any bread. That's why he's telling us this. But Jesus, probably just shaking his head, says to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves and the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I not speak to you concerning the bread? Okay? He's saying, look, guys, I've proven myself to you guys countless times. I've shown you. I'm not concerned about the bread. I'll take care of it. You guys, stop worrying. Stop reasoning within yourself that, oh my gosh, I forgot to do this. I forgot. I forgot to bring the bread. I forgot to pray. I forgot to get in the Word today. I forgot. Don't reason within yourselves, you know? Don't panic. Don't worry. Don't fear. Don't allow yourself to be filled with doubt. So many times we get in our own head And we take things upon our own selves. We look to our own wisdom, our own knowledge, instead of looking to God. And God just says, hey, I've already shown myself to be faithful. Rely on me. Trust in me. And I will show you myself again to be faithful. Another one is pride. This is a fairly big one. And we're going to go to Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 4, and Habakkuk is talking about the the Babylonians, and he said, behold the proud, that would be the Babylonians, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. We see Paul using this several times, the just shall live by faith, in Romans, and I believe also in Corinthians. But here the Babylonians, you know, they're upright, they're proud, they're walking in their own, and of course we know through history and through our Bible that God brought judgment upon the Babylonians, and he destroyed them and rescued Israel, who justly lived by faith. Another one is greed. In 1 Timothy, chapter 6, and that's verses 6 through 10. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, remember we just talked about having food and clothing, that God provides that we don't need to worry. Here's Timothy saying the same thing. With these, we should be content, or shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So we see that greed can lead us astray from our faith. Not just weaken it, but actually take us away from our faith. All right? We really need to be careful about what we strive for, what we long for in this life, and learn to be content and to be satisfied. When we have that contentment, then we can trust in God. We can let go of the fear and of the worry, of the doubt, and all these things that plague us and rob us of our faith. So now that we've talked about a couple things of what can distract us or lead us away from faith, how do we increase or strengthen our faith? I don't believe faith is something that you increase. I see every time that the disciples say, you know, increase our faith. God just kind of overlooks that. In fact, in, if you turn to 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9. I'm sorry, go to Romans 10, 17 first. We'll go to 2 Peter in a minute. All right. So one way to strengthen our faith And I believe that that's really truly what we do is we strengthen our faith is by getting into and reading the Word and through prayer. Because if faith is our realization of who we are and who God is, what better way to strengthen our faith than by reading the Word of God? And this is confirmed in Romans 10:17, where he says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Okay? When we hear the Word of God, when we're in the Word of God, we begin to understand who God is. We begin to understand who we are. We begin to see stories of God being faithful, of God being just, of God proving himself time and time and time and time again throughout the ages. We can read those things, we can see those things, and we can take comfort in those things, knowing that God will be faithful to us as well. So that is one way to strengthen our faith. Our faith also gets strengthened when we go through trials, when we go through tribulations. We can also add to our faith, if you go now to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to be reading verses 5 through 9. "But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ." When we add these things to our faith, when we add virtue, when we add knowledge, when we add self-control, when we add perseverance, when we add godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, when we add these things to our faith, we are going to be fruitful. We will show forth the fruits of the Spirit. We will bring those things forth. And God will be able to look on us and say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," because we are acting and moving in our faith. Just kind of want to close in some examples of faith. And one of the best places I found to find that is in Hebrews 11. And we're going to start in verse 4 and pretty much read all the rest of 11. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it his being dead with sparks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had his testimony, had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed and was called to go out to place to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs, with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, immeasurable, and the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Of him who it was said, "In Isaac your soul, your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in his figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. By faith of Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, and esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Joseph, also of David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms and worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, became violent in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens, whom received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and surroundings, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, and they should not be made perfect apart from us. These are the testimonies of those that practiced faith in the Word of God. These are examples of what faith is. This is why reading the Word of God can grow our faith, can strengthen our faith when we see these promises, when we see these stories taking place. And so I just encourage each of you, you know, if you're struggling with worries, if you're struggling with doubt, if you're struggling with fear, or whatever it is, get into your Word. Pray. Seek God. He will help you overcome those things through His testimony. Father God, I thank you for the example of your word, Father. I thank you for the legacy of faith that you have left us to follow, Father, as an example for us. Lord, in this day and time when anxiety and worry and strife, this need to control everything, Lord, has just overwhelmed us. Lord, you have given us a faith that supersedes all of that, Father. You have given us an ability and an example of those that we can look to trust and know that we can trust in you. So God, I just ask as we go through our week, Lord, that we would seek to strengthen our faith in you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.